Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Length reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back here to kick off the second hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. In the second hour, we are going to be focusing pretty much exclusively on the precious metals sector, and even more so on some of the stocks that we follow on the site, and also touching on that M&A transaction between Monarch Gold and Yamana. First and foremost, though, to get this second hour off to a roaring start, I'm chatting with Richard Postma, a.k.a. Doc. Doc, let's focus on some of the broader moves when it comes to precious metals, and I want to start with the GDX chart, because GDX had a very good Thursday, moved aggressively higher. Friday, kind of a mixed bag, but I think the most important thing was it didn't give up a lot of those gains that it had on Thursday. Give us your general assessment of the stability, the strength of GDX right now, please.
Well, Corey, I think gold pulls back again. I don't think gold's quite ready to break out yet. And I feel that at the end of the year or into possibly January is the best chance for gold to break out. And so that tells me that GDX probably had a nice little run, but I wouldn't be surprised if we start to fall back again here, back into its trading range again for a while. And I expect that to happen through most of November into December, but that's when I will get interested in starting to purchase some more gold and silver positions, probably as we get close to December.
So, Doc, to me, the close that we're seeing on GDX is quite significant. It is breaking that downtrend line that has been in place ever since that peak in early August, and it got ahead or above that recent lower high of 41.34 that occurred in the middle of October. Is this not a significant move because of how GDX closed the week and the breaking of that downtrend?
Yeah, but I look at the weekly chart and the Bollinger Bands are starting to narrow toward the price. And so I wouldn't be surprised if we, even next week, probably hang up here a little bit. But then I think really we start to pull back a little bit and we trade in a training range for a while. What's good about that is that's going to give the weekly, the 200-week moving average time to move up over time to pricing. And that's when I would get a little bit more excited, frankly, because when you look at the MACD on the weekly chart, it still puts GDX in a vulnerable position, especially for next week, it looks like. Could be that it may not, but I think we have to get down toward neutral on the GDX, on the MACD, on the weekly before I think we should get too excited here.
Okay. So in terms of a trading range, though, do you think that low from 2 weeks ago on GDX, the low of 36.01, is that a pretty solid floor? Is that the bottom of the trading range?
Yes, I believe it is for the time being. And we're not going to see that for a while, I think. And if we do later on, it could be we might move a little bit lower, but I don't see it getting much below that, actually, Corey. I think we're in a really good position here, and it's only a matter of time. And I think we actually break out to challenge a high sometime in 2021, but that's okay with me because if it waits that long, I think it's going to be a more significant move at that point in time.
Okay, so continuing to have a correction more in terms of time, not so much in terms of price right now. Are you concerned at all about any selling that comes at the end of the year, usually termed tax loss selling? A lot of people are sitting on some gains, though, you have to imagine. But if they bought in the last 3 months, the shares have drifted. Do you worry about any weakness just at the end of the year due to shuffling for tax purposes?
Yeah, we could get a little bit, but I don't see a lot of that this year, frankly. And if you look at the monthly chart, we're in a really good place with the precious metals and with gold. And we will probably finish this month over the closing position in November on the monthly chart. But then I think December we might waffle around, but I would get more excited as we get into the new year. We could break a little higher in December, but I don't see a massive break up here right now, Corey.
So then when it comes to, let's say, the gold price, is this 1850 or 1851 level that some have said looks like a double bottom? I don't particularly see that as a true double bottom, but do you think that's a floor for the gold price?
Yes, I do for the time being. I think we could go a tad lower, but not significantly. I don't think we would go, in the worst case scenario, I don't think we go below 1800. I know some people have talked about that, but I don't see us going much below 1800 at all. And I think we could still be in a trading range for some time as we move into the latter part of this year and into next year. But that would be really extremely healthy for this market the longer we stay in it, because when we get the next break, it should be significant. And I think these precious metal stocks will really benefit. But you're going to have to be patient, I believe. I believe that it's going to be a little bit a while longer before we break higher.
How about silver? Silver has stayed true to its word of being more volatile than gold. It sold off a bit more than gold, but this week had a good week. It's up almost 7%. Just this week had another move on Thursday of over a dollar higher. How do you see silver playing out?
I think silver is in the same position as gold, is that we are in a broad trading range here, and I think it continues for quite a while. I don't see silver even getting close to its previous highs by the end of the year. I think it is going to have to be 2021. We talked about that way back in August, where I felt that we wouldn't see these precious metals attacking their highs until the end of the year or 2021. Now, looking at the charts, I wouldn't be surprised if it's 2021 now.
Now, Doc, what about how the U.S. dollar is playing into all of this? The U.S. dollar had a bad week, and it's trending very close to one of the more significant lows of 91.75 on the dollar index that happened in September. If that breaks, there's a fair bit of air underneath that chart. How do you see the dollar moving?
I think the dollar short term will reverse back up. And then I think we trade a little bit sideways, and that corresponds to my position on gold. I think we trade a little bit to the side. And then I think 2021, we have a real good chance of the dollar breaking down again and starting to search for new lows. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if we move down a little bit in the dollar in December either. And that could continue a little bit in January and February. So that'll be positive for gold. But I don't see a big breakdown suddenly in the dollar here. But the odds are we do move a little bit lower yet in December and possibly into January before the dollar has any potential of moving back up. But I'll tell you one thing. I don't see the dollar suddenly reversing and moving up here anytime soon.
No, you're not seeing any strength for the dollar. Hey, even though Europe is continuing to be weak, you think that this is, it sounds like, going to be more of a range-bound trade in this lower part of the range?
Oh, yes, definitely. And if we're going to get a breakdown, it's going to have to be a significant breakdown. It's going to have to be 2021. But I do believe December, we have a potential of hanging in here or even breaking down a little bit more, but not a significant drop.
Okay, Doc, we're going to wrap it up there. Thank you for kicking off the second hour of the weekend edition. The second hour is going to be focused exclusively on the precious metal.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA, microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing on with the second hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report, and the second hour focused on the resource sector. And I am chatting with Dave Erfley, founder and editor of the Junior Miner Junkie. Now, Dave, this is the second time we're chatting this week because I wanted to have you on the show to outline an M&A, or at least proposed M&A transaction between Monarch Gold and Yamana. So the deal is Yamana will acquire the Wasamac property and the Camflow property and mill through the acquisition of Monarch. Total consideration right around $200 million Canadian, or about 63 cents per share of Monarch. Now, there's a couple other nuances to this deal where there is going to be a SpinCo where the company, Monarch, will then have the Beaufort mine, the Mackenzie Break property, and actually a couple more other properties in the SpinCo. We'll also have $14 million cash. Take us through your initial thoughts of this proposed M&A.
Sure, Corey. Fortunately, I got into the stock in April, and my subscribers that followed my lead were up over 200% after the deal was announced. So we can't really grouse too much, but I feel that that project is worth a lot more, and so does the market. I mean, if you look at past takeovers, they're averaging about $90 an ounce, and this has been sold for $40 an ounce. Granted, I mean, you get some of Yamana, which is good, and you get all the other projects spun out, and I really like all their other projects, plus $14 million cash. So I really like that aspect of it, but I'm hoping for a bidding war because you've got three majors that own stock in Monarch. And they've said that only 28% of shareholders have approved the deal already, and that 28% includes management and includes Yamana, which is a little less than half that. So if you look at Alamos Gold, they own 16%. And if I'm Alamos and I see what it's been sold for, and I own 16%, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they put in a bid. You know, if you take a look at a similar situation in Cardinal Resources, an Australian company in Ghana, there's a bidding war going on over there, and those shareholders are just sitting back and enjoying the stock continuing to climb. I mean, the first bid was at 66 cents, and now it's up to a dollar. So I'm not saying that's going to happen here. But if you take a look at Wasamac, it's in a top-tier jurisdiction. It's a really good deal for Yamana, but I think the project is worth more.
Okay, so maybe a bidding war. That would bring at least some excitement into the sector for an M&A transaction because, quite frankly, some of the recent M&A that we have seen has been more so disappointing to the market. But your outline there of what value this is placing on the project, $40 an ounce in the ground versus what we have seen, $90 an ounce in the ground. If this deal does go through, does that mean we need to take a step back and revalue a lot of projects, a lot of companies that have known resources?
Exactly. That's what I'm concerned about. You know, I own shares in a few other companies that are takeover candidates, and I'm worried about a re-rate, you know, because if you take the $40 an ounce they're being given against the $90 an ounce as the average, that's going to bring that average down. So, you know, some of these other companies might get re-rated if the deal goes through. So, but Corey, I really don't think this deal is going to go through. I mean, I really think there's going to be a bidding war, especially now that the gold price looks like it's double bottomed today.
What do you think is driving this decision of Monarch and the CEO, Jean-Marc Lacoste? Both you and I talked to him. I really like having Jean-Marc on the show, but this seems almost like a premature deal, as you're even outlining.
Yeah, you know, I haven't had a chance to talk to them because they're obviously busy. Yeah, I mean, if you take a look at the CapEx, you know, it's almost $500 million, and Monarch's, basically a micro-cap company. They were going to have to at least JV it and sell at least probably half of it to get a deal. They've got all these other projects that they need to focus on, and the market was not giving a lot of love to Monarch because of that. They didn't know where their focus was. So now selling Wasamac, and then being able to turn their focus to these other projects. They've got the Beaufort mine, which is, they've got a 42,500 meter drill program going on there, and they're planning to put it back into production by the middle to late next year of 25,000 ounces a year. And it's only been drill tested down to about 700, 750 meters. And if you take a look at the mines in that area, the grades get higher as they go deeper. Also, they've got Mackenzie Break property, that exploration property that's very good, and they've got another mill, the Beacon Mill, and they've got that Kronauer project, which is permitted. So they can focus on that now with the $14 million cash. So I think the market might give some love to that SpinCo.
All right, that's interesting. Something that we'll definitely follow along with. But again, as you've outlined, this is not a done deal quite yet. So let's see how this all plays through. How are you playing this in your investment? I assume from what you're saying here is that you're holding your shares. You're not rotating this money out right now.
Absolutely. No, I'm holding until this plays out. And but if the deal does eventually go through, what I will most likely do is I'll sell my Yamana shares and I'll put the money into the SpinCo.
Okay. But then you need to revalue some of the other stocks and other companies in the area, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a tough balance there. All right, well, let's follow along with this deal. Hopefully there is a bidding war, and hopefully we do start seeing some more M&A because it has been very slow for the sector. Let's wrap it up with a couple quick comments on the moves in the precious metals. Gold started to move higher, quite strongly higher on Thursday. The stocks had a very good day, and I think even more importantly, GDX, as we're recording this, progressing later on in the day on Friday, GDX is above that 41 level, and quite frankly, you look at a weekly close, if it can close around this level, that'll be the highest close since mid-September, even early September, finally breaking that short-term downtrend that it's been in. How significant was that move on Thursday in your eyes?
I think it's very significant if you look at the volume also, and also if you take a look at both SIL, SILJ, the silver ETFs, as well as the GDXJ, they did not make lower lows like the GDX did. So when you see a positive divergence like that from silver miners and the juniors, well, like GDXJ is not really the juniors, it's the mid-tiers, but still, I mean, and you take a look at the juniors, a lot of them made significant moves, and they're starting to just show relative strength against both gold and the miners. That's a positive sign.
Well, Dave, we'll wrap it up there. Just a nice update on the M&A transaction that at least is proposed, and we'll see how the vote goes, right? And we'll see if there is a bidding war. Hopefully there is, but either way, nice to see some M&A. Just would be better if it's at a higher value, but we can argue and complain about that all day long. Hey, Dave, great chatting with you. Thanks for taking some time on this weekend show. And hey, everyone, go check out Dave's website, Junior Miner Junkie, to learn more about his newsletter. Thanks for your time on this weekend, Dave.
Sure, Corey. Thanks a lot.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it, but only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly. Fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
In Georgia, one of the states where former Vice President Joe Biden has a slight lead, they are likely to have a recount. Biden, at last check, has 1/10 of a percentage point lead over President Trump. Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger telling WSB-TV that they haven't seen any funny business with their election and that everything will be on the up and up.
We want to make sure that the only thing that we are going to count are legal votes.
But is there any evidence of any widespread problem with this election in Georgia?
We haven't seen that yet.
The tight race also affecting another Georgia Senate race. Incumbent Republican David Perdue will face Democratic challenger John Ossoff in a runoff. Incumbent Republican Kelly Loeffler and Democrat Raphael Warnock already set for their runoff. The contest could decide who controls the U.S. Senate. As far as who will control the executive branch, we still don't know. This is USA Radio News. Some hospitals are facing a shortage of face masks as the COVID-19 pandemic continues. The U.S. set yesterday another record in the number of cases being reported in a single day. Dr. Uchi Blackstock is an emergency medicine physician. She told CBS News why we are looking at shortages now.
One, because the time between the apex here in New York City and now, there was no national strategy for procuring more personal protective equipment. So that's one. And then also, we don't only have hospitals taking care of patients that need a PPE, but we're reopening outpatient clinics and private practices that also need personal protective equipment.
Makers of so-called N95 masks are struggling to keep up with demand. 3M, the largest domestic manufacturer of the mask, which filter out at least 95% of very small particles, including viruses, they told CBS that U.S. and global demand for PPE, or personal protective equipment, continues to far exceed supply for the entire industry. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki: great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendovite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. 10 Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Continuing on with the second hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report and continuing to focus on the resource sector, more specifically on exploration plays, as I am chatting with Steve Todoruk. He is an investment advisor and geologist over at Sprott Global Resource Investments. Now, Steve, as I've had you on the show a number of times before, just to bring everybody up to speed, due to compliance issues, we can't discuss specific stocks that are current. We can discuss past stocks that have maybe been sold, but we can talk generally about what interests you when you're focused on exploration plays and riding discovery stories, because quite frankly, it doesn't matter what kind of market we are in. If you can find a discovery and invest in it early, you can make some very good money. Let's start off, though, with a comment on all the new listings that we're seeing coming into the market. market. This happens in a bull market, especially in smaller cap companies. Look, a lot's crossing my desk. I'm sure a lot is crossing your desk. What do you filter out initially, and what do you focus on when you do get some of these new listings cross your desk?
Well, like you touched on, Corey, when you get into a bull market, it's just a given you're going to get a lot of guys bringing new companies to the market, and with that, they've got to raise money. So, I see the announcement of new companies coming, you know, on the exchange and starting their new life. But all I can hope is that they spend the money wisely in the ground, trying to advance projects, make new discoveries, things like that. So I don't pay a lot of attention just because a new company starts out. I don't waste my time tearing the company apart, finding out who's running that. I just want to know there's another exploration company out there exploring, trying to make a discovery. So the more companies we have growing, the better.
What about when you're going through some of these decks and you see a lot of these companies referred to either past mining or past drill results or even past resources that aren't 43-101 compliant right now? Does anything jump out to you? Do you focus on either of these?
A new company that's just starting to trade today or recently is in all likelihood not going to have a top quality project. Those are long gone. You know, all the good properties are owned happily by current owners, and they're not going to let them go. You know, we touched on, I think, one of our previous chats about some of the big companies, you know, announcing they're going to sell some of their non-core assets, i.e. deposits or mines that are too small for them. I want to see where those land. So, you know, I am looking for, you know, the announcement one day, you know, on the chance that some little company makes a significant acquisition. But other than that, you know, I sort of refer to those old projects or old deposits as retreads. They were found 10, 20, 30 years ago, and they're still sitting in the ground for a reason. They weren't good enough.
Yeah, and when you hear the company arguing that, well, look at the current metals price compared to where it was, and that's why it'll work now, that's just all too common of simply a promotional tactic, isn't it?
I'd say so. Usually they're going to be smallish deposits, grade is mediocre, and that's not usually a good combination for a successful mining operation.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, let's talk about where money gets spent then from a lot of these junior companies. Look, a lot of these companies have raised significant amounts of money, and a lot of them are undertaking some pretty significant drill programs. That's why these labs are so backed up. But I was even mentioning to you, I was sitting during the week watching TV as I was catching up on some work at night, and I had BNN on. So that's kind of the Canadian Financial News Network, and I was noticing a lot more advertisements, commercials for these junior explorers. I knew a couple of the companies. I didn't know about some of the other ones. When I went digging into some of them, I was like, wow, these guys must be spending a lot of money on these simple TV ads. That doesn't speak, that doesn't give me a whole lot of confidence in these companies. What do you like to see between a balance of money in the ground, but some money needing to be spent towards promotion to get the story out there?
Right. Well, the interesting, call it sidebar here is, you know, I'm quite involved in some of the higher profile discovery plays in Australia right now. And it seemed like the Australian companies spend nowhere near the amount of money on promotion that North American companies do. It's like the North Americans want to spend lots of money promoting their stock, hoping that'll push the share price up. Whereas the Australians tend to want to go out and spend the money in the ground, see if they can, you know, find something positive, new material that will move the share price higher. I prefer the Australian way. It shocks me at how much money some of the North American companies spend on investor relations. You know, I want them to tell the story, but you don't need to overpromote as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, this even ties into what you've offered to a lot of my listeners is if they want to send you some of the stocks they're interested in or even their portfolios, you can give them your thoughts on those companies. And time again, when I get sent companies and even some of the ones that have been sent to you, we see the same names. And unfortunately, it makes me kind of sad to see so many people get sucked into these promotional plays that have been around for such a long time and really have done nothing to create shareholders.
their value. Maybe they've grown their market cap, but the share price really has not gone anywhere. Let's actually talk about true exploration right now. When you do have a discovery hole and companies start to step out, there's a wide range of step out distances that these companies undertake. We see some 10 meter step outs. We see some 100 meter step outs. What actually makes a deposit grow in your eyes?
Well, I always sort of say that, you know, when a company drills that good discovery drill, it's good grade gold over, you know, good mineable widths, whether that's for an underground mine or an open pit, the game is on. They've got to, you know, be able to move the drill over and grow that into at least a 1 million ounce, gold deposit to justify building a standalone expensive mining operation. So, you know, you want to find that out sooner than later or as quick as you can, because every hole you drill is costing a lot of money. So, you know, I like to see meaningful step outs, in, you know, call them vein type of gold deposits. You know, after the discovery drill, I want to see the drill moved over at least 25 meters and preferably 50 meters. You know, if the company's feeling really strong or they've got some good solid information that they've got lots of confidence, move the drill over 100 meters on step outs. They're trying to find the ultimate size of the footprint as quick as you can. And then if it looks like you got that 1 million ounces or 2 million ounces, you know, come back and then start to infill or tighten up type of thing. But 10 meter step outs to me is a waste of money.
Yeah, those are more market holes, aren't they? Companies like to promote on the back of those, but they're not doing anything to truly show the scale of the deposit. When you're comparing step-out holes to the initial discovery hole, I know this is hard to answer because every hole is different, but what matters most to you?
I guess the main thing is that the system is still alive. You know, very few deposits are uniform in shape or size. A lot of them, especially vein type of deposits, are almost always going to pinch and swell. So I like to see, you know, even if the discovery drill hole is a good, wide, respectable drill hole, you know, further holes drilled down the road might, you know, pinch or narrow down quite a bit. But as long as it's still a little bit there and it's got decent grade, you know, that's fine. You don't need to hit on 100% of your drill holes. I think if you hit on 60 to 70%, at the end of the day, you should have a good deposit.
Yeah, and it's all about just figuring out the size and the scale of the underlying deposit. Well, Steve, we're going to wrap it up there, but again, Steve is offering to take a look at any of your portfolios, give you his thoughts on any of the companies you are wondering about investing in or that you're already invested in. You can send Steve an email direct to sttotteruk@sprottglobal.com. I will also post his email in that Hour 2 weekend show post. Or you can send your questions and those companies to me, Fleck@kereport.com, and I can pass those on to Steve. Steve, it's great having you on the show. Thanks again for taking some time on this weekend.
Thanks, Corey. Have a good weekend.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-215-1727. 800-215-1727. That's 800-215-1727.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
At 58 years of age, I noticed a dramatic energy decline. After a 5-day work week, I had to use one of my days off to rest and recover. I also had cut my gym visits down from 3 times a week to 1 a week. Since I began using Green Meadow Whey, my energy level has greatly improved. I no longer have to take a day to recover. I have increased my gym visits back to 3 times a week. I'm actually more active and feeling better now than I have in the last 5 years. It's so nice to wake up in the morning feeling good and ready to go. Before trying Green Meadow Whey, I must have tried every whey protein product on the market, and every one of them caused me bloating, gas, and constipation. I've had no such issues with Green Meadow Whey. In fact, I'm sleeping better, my vision has improved, and surprisingly, my emotional and mental state has also improved. I love what Green Meadow Whey has done for me.
Green Meadow Whey comes from milk derived from grass-pastured cows. To order, call 888-988-3325 or visit greenmeadowwhey.com.
If you or a loved one is a survivor of abuse by Boy Scouts of America representatives as far back as the 1970s, we urge you to speak up. We'll stand with you and get you the help and financial compensation you deserve. A jury in Portland, for example, awarded $18.5 million in punitive damages in one Boy Scout sexual abuse case. The Boy Scouts of America filed for bankruptcy, and funds have been set aside to compensate those injured. Time is limited, and so are the funds. Call today. Don't wait. For free information on how to file your claim, call All Survivors Advocates right now. We have a long track record in helping our clients get the legal justice and compensation they deserve. Please, we are ready to help you. Call today.
800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. That's 800-364-2984.
Hey everyone, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report and wrapping up this 2-hour weekend show with a company update from Nucor Gold, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol NCAU and on the OTC markets under the symbol PRCNF. I'm chatting with the President and CEO, Luke Alexander. Now, Luke, I wanted to highlight some of the news that has just recently come out of Nucor Gold from this week, because it's a pretty significant increase in the company's drill program. Just to bring everybody up to speed, I first introduced Nucor on the show back at the tail end of September. The company is focused in Ghana on this Enchi Gold property. There is already a resource that was updated already this year, stands at 1.22 million ounces, and the news from November 5th outlined a 50,000 meter increase in the drill program on top of the already 8,000 meters that was underway. So a massive step from 8,000 now to 58,000. Luke, just give us an initial comment on what's drawing the company to increase the drill program by this much.
Yeah, hi Corey, and hi everyone who's listening in. I hope you're having a good weekend. We're ultimately really excited about the additional 50,000 meters that we're going to drill. You know, historically there's been about 49,000 meters drilled on this project, and you know, needless to say, this is a very large program. And ultimately, I mean, the district scale potential that we've got at our NG project justifies this kind of a program. So we're going to focus on ultimately expanding resource as well as, for the first time ever, drilling at depth. So that's the main motivation for the money that we just raised, is to be able to aggressively drill this program over the next 6 months.
So for everyone who is listening in their car or simply on the radio or through our podcast, I recommend going to the Nucor Gold website. It's NucorGold.com. Pulling up the company's slide presentation and going to slide 13. This outlines the overall project and all of the targets that the company has. I believe it's upwards of 25 targets. There's also a pyramid here that shows target ranking in terms of where deposits are, what you're hoping to at least increase some of these deposits in the overall resource, and some of the untested targets. Let's start with the top of the pyramid here. So some of the low-hanging fruit that could grow the current 1.22 million ounce resource. Take us through some of these targets first, please.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you look at the map on slide 13, you'll see that our property is 216 square kilometers from north to south. It's about 40 kilometers in length, and where the mineralization typically sits on these types of deposits are second and third order shears that come off of the main Bibiani shear. If you total up those second and third order shears or splays that go through our property, you've got about 100 kilometers of strike length, so true district scale potential. We've to date identified about 25 different targets across the entire property. They're at various stages of work. So at the top of the pyramid, which Corey's referring to on slide 13, we've got Boeing, Suam, and Niam. Those are our three resource areas. That's what makes up our 1.22 million ounces of inferred resource. And those areas are open along strike. At Boeing and Suam, there's some gap zones, which, again, if you're looking at the presentation, you'll see those gap areas on slide 14. But ultimately, those are areas that have not been historically drilled. So as part of this 50,000 meters and part of the 8,000 meters that we're just finishing up at the moment, we've started to drill out those areas, and we think that that's lower risk, lower hanging fruit potential to expand the resource, as well as drilling along strike at all three of these resource areas. And then the big opportunity is for the first time ever to start drilling at depth. And if you look at these green stone-hosted deposits, typically where they significantly grow is when you start drilling at depth. And if you look at Toronto, 50 kilometers to the north of us, that's Kinross's 200,000-ounce-a-year producer, 5.5 million-ounce deposit. You'll see that at depth, they significantly started to grow their resource. And that's one of the things we're extremely excited about is to, for the first time ever, to start drilling at depth on Boeing, Suam, and Niam, and we think that we could significantly grow the resource. Again, if you're looking at slide 15 in our presentation, you'll see that there's a cross section there comparing Enchi to Toronto, and you can visually see how these deposits can have real potential to grow at depth. So that's the focus for resource expansion. But then there's other areas that we've had some historical drilling done on, very limited drilling, areas like Kojina Hill, Quakron, and Arati, and we're currently going back to two of those areas, Kojina Hill and Quakron, as part of our 8,000-meter program, but ultimately we'll look to do a lot more drilling with the 50,000 meters that we've that we're going to do over the next 6 months, and we'll ultimately look to move those drill-tested areas in up the pyramid and hopefully into the resource category, and then the next area of focus will be some of the advanced targets that we've got on our property. So areas like Nkwanta, Suam South. Suam South is one of the largest anomalies on our property. It's 3.5 kilometers by 2.5 kilometers. It sits at the southern end of our property. We've currently just built a road down to Suam South. We're going to start doing trenching work, and we'll ultimately start to drill that for the first time ever early next year, as well as Arati, which 40 kilometers to the north is another area where we're going to go back and do some additional drilling.
Okay, quick follow-up question regarding some of the deep drilling. How deep are you planning on going with these holes?
So to date, the average depth that's been drilled across our property is 50 meters. So historically, it's really been targeting the oxides. The deepest hole that we've drilled is down to 175 meters vertical. With this upcoming program and with the diamond rigs that we'll bring in, we'll look to drill down to kind of 250 to 350 meters vertical.
Now, what about all these other targets? I get it. You guys have a wealth of targets here. It's not a bad thing to have this many targets, but to balance out how many holes you're putting into each of these targets, can you give us a little insight here?
So at the moment, we've got one rig on site. We'll keep that rig on site, and it's just kind of finishing up and pushing through the 8,000 meters. So we'll keep that drill rig turning. We'll look to add two more drill rigs by the end of this year, and then early next year, look to bring in another two or three rigs. So by early next year, we'll ramp up to call it five or six rigs, and we'll look to have all of this drilling done, the 50,000 meters, by May of next year, which is when the rainy season starts. So in terms of the targeting, about half of it will be focused on RC drilling, so continuing to expand the oxide resource with a big focus at Boeing, Suam, and Niam, which are our resource areas. But then again, bringing areas like Kojina Hill, Quackram, Arati, hopefully into that resource category as well. And then with the diamond drilling, the other kind of half of our program, we'll start to drill at depth. The areas that we'll focus on for the deeper drilling are Boeing and Suam and Niam initially. And again, we've got the best geological understanding of those areas given the amount of drilling that's been done on them already. So that's where we'll focus our deep drilling. And then obviously, targeting other areas for the first time as well, as I've highlighted areas like Suam South, Tocosilla, Naquanta. And then we've got a portion of the meters that are unallocated, and those will ultimately move around depending on how things are progressing and some of the work that are being done on additional targets across the overall property.
All right, Luke, we're going to wrap it up here. That wraps up this two-hour weekend show. Please, everybody, send me your thoughts, first of all, on the new, more focused format on investing and, well, resources for the second hour. Also, send me any questions you have for any of the guests that I've had on, and especially for Luke over at Nucor. I will get all those answered, as I'll just keep up all the daily editorials and the two-hour weekend show as we progress through the rest of this year, which undoubtedly will continue to be volatile, but it was a good week, end of the week, especially for precious metals, and I know a lot of investors saw some nice gains just this week. So, hey, everybody, thank you for tuning in this weekend. As I mentioned, keep those emails coming, fleck@kereport.com. Luke, everybody else, have a great weekend.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guest by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Do you have health or energy challenges? Would you like to support your health and energy from a product that people consistently feel the uplifting and health-building effects from the first day they consume it? I introduce you to Green Meadow Whey, the only whey protein powder from grass-pastured cows that is processed in a manner that ensures that the proteins and amino acids remain in their correct geometric shape that the body can use. The naturally occurring proteins, peptides, and amino acids in renatured whey are proven to support multiple aspects of human health, from complementing your immune system to neutralizing chronic inflammation, to supporting detoxification, to stabilization of blood sugar, and more. Additionally, due to the Tesla-like frequencies encoded into Green Meadow Whey, it is a dramatic support for your energy and mood, and it is an excellent emergency preparedness food with well over a 5-year shelf life. To order, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325, or visit greenmeadowwhey.com. greenmeadowwhey.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
92.
$6,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.